Next case for argument, Camilleri v. Ashcroft. Mr. Berman.
Please the court, Stephen Berman on behalf of the petitioner Ergun Camilleri. Judge Posner, Judge Easterbrook, Judge Cannon, and counsel for the Office of Immigration Litigation.
You have to speak louder, Mr. Berman.
I apologize, Your Honor. This matter comes before the court on petition for review from a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals, which in their review of decision of the immigration court.
The immigration judge mean when he said, this is page 12 of his opinion, the end of your brief, the judge has patiently listened to the respondent's testimony over numerous hearings.
Yes, Your Honor?
Numerous hearings? What's that about? How many hearings did he have? And why?
I don't know why there was more than one hearing. There might have been a continuance if they came to the end of the day at a particular trial date. I noted that the judge did not take the expert's opinion. It seems there may have been a time concern over the evidence.
In other words, you don't know.
Okay, I don't know, Your Honor.
That's fine. Okay.
At issue is whether the petitioner faces a danger of torture. As a torture convention claim, we haven't raised the issues of asylum and withholding of removal, which are not related to the torture convention, because we believe that the judge's decision may have been well-founded under Marquez versus INS, this court's previous decision in 97, that the persecution may not have been based on the petitioner's political beliefs. Nevertheless, the petitioner contends that he is in danger of torture, whether or not it's based on his political beliefs. The facts are as follows. Mr. Camilleri is a 26-year-old male from Albania. He graduated high school in 96, from where he began working for the National Guard Service. I don't know what the correct term is in English for that. But there's a government guard service, and he was assigned to protect the former King Zaghi, visiting the country for several months. Thereafter, he joined the Socialist Party, and he was assigned to serve to protect Socialist Party headquarters. Shortly after that, by April 97, the country was already in civil war. The head of the Socialist Party, Fatos Nana, was released from jail, and petitioner was assigned to protect Mr. Fatos Nana. A petitioner accompanied Mr. Nana personally on numerous trips to southern Albania, where Mr. Nana was negotiating with various gangs.
Nana did not become the prime minister until the end of July 2002.
Correct.
The month after the immigration judge's decision.
Okay.
Did you point out to the Board of Immigration Appeals that this had happened? This change of, if not party, the change of who was running the show had happened?
Your Honor, the elections in 1997 did bring in the Socialist Party to
rule.
Right,
but Nana was not the prime minister until the end of July 2002, and your argument seems to depend a lot about Fatos Nana. My question is, did you point out to the Board of Immigration Appeals that he became the prime minister after the IJ's decision?
The short answer is no. We didn't, Your Honor. I didn't do the appeal to the Board, Your Honor. I don't think that necessarily changes the results of the case.
It doesn't necessarily, but
and they elevate the petition.
It is harder to complain that the immigration judge didn't know that Fatos Nana was prime minister when, in fact, he wasn't, and no one pointed out to the board that he had become prime minister.
Now, the immigration judge stated in his decision that petitioner was in danger of being assassinated by members of the Socialist Party, the party that's ruling the country. Whether or not
the immigration judge seemed to think that the Democratic Party was ruling, right?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
He said he acted with impunity, your client, until 1999 when the Democratic Party came to power. It's page 15 of his opinion. That's not true, is it?
That would be incorrect. That's true. That's not true. The judge may have been confused about that. In any case,
My question is, was this brought to the attention of the Board of Immigration Appeals?
No, Your Honor. It wasn't.
The Attorney General has not argued waiver or forfeiture in its brief, thereby forfeiting the forfeiture.
We're not arguing any error of fact, or really this comes down to, we believe it was an error of law. There may have been errors of fact and other errors in the analysis, but really what we're focusing on is the judge.
Does it make a difference which party controlled?
It does. It should make a very big difference which party.
And if the immigration judge got it wrong, how does that impact on his decision? He assumed the wrong party was in control of the government.
That would be decisive. That would be decisive, Your Honor. That's true.
And then the question is just to ask you, it was the Democratic Party has been out of power since the 1997, hasn't it?
That's correct.
Did the immigration judge understand that?
From what Your Honors have brought to my attention, it seems he may not have. I honestly didn't catch it.
Now, the immigration judge plainly thought that the Democratic Party had been in power since 1999. That, of course, was the source of my question. Did the appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals say, look, there's a critical factual error in the IJ's decision? It seems the appeal didn't make that argument, but as I say, the government is perfectly content to forfeit the forfeiture argument.
I apologize, Your Honor, and I myself, it went over my head, too. What struck me was really the judge's final conclusion that it was the Socialist Party and not the government. But Your Honor is absolutely right. If the government thought that the Socialist Party wasn't the government when it was,
that's an error of fact. In your view, is the critical error of the immigration judge. The immigration judge thought the Democratic Party was in power when it appears that the Socialist Party, although not non-personally, was in power. And that's the kind of thing one would hope would be cleared up on an appeal to the BIA.
That's absolutely correct.
But here we are instead.
Your Honor is absolutely correct.
I thought what had troubled you about the IJ's decision was this notion that if the Socialist Party assassinated your client, it would be doing so somehow as a private matter rather than as the government.
Right, exactly. That's the Marquez.
That's your major argument.
It is. It is.
There's no difference between the Socialist Party and its private and its public capacity, especially since, you do suggest in your brief that you realize the Socialist Party is running the government.
That's true. Yes, sir, that's exactly what our point was, that this is not a private dispute. This has nothing to do with a private matter. This is government officials working in their official capacity.
Well, no. If you steal from a governmental official, and that's one way to understand this, that Kamilari lacked honor among thieves. He was engaged in smuggling, and he didn't pay the other people their appropriate cut, and they're real upset about that. Right? If one thief steals from another, you can easily imagine that being a private dispute on top of a governmental dispute.
If that's what
just
it were.
Just because the thief is the prime minister is no reason why it can't be a private dispute.
Your Honor, I'm cutting into my rebuttal time, but that's not what the claim was, and that's not what the judge assumed either. The people were being bumped off, not because they weren't getting their cut. They were being bumped off because they were witnesses about government corruption, which could potentially endanger the government's ability to govern. If I may reserve.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Drucker?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Allison Drucker, and I'm representing the United States. The basic issue in this case is whether the evidence compels reversal of the immigration judge's denial of relief under the Convention Against Torture. The petitioner bears the burden of proof in this case.
Are you denying that the fulcrum of the immigration judge's decision was false as a matter of fact?
Well, are you saying that the
What party was in power in Albania in 2002, in June of 2002?
In my understanding, Your Honor, the Socialist Party has been in power since elections in 1997. I don't believe
right. So the immigration judge founded his opinion on a belief the Democratic Party was in power, and that's not correct. How can we go anywhere other than just remand, since you haven't made a forfeiture argument?
Well, petitioner, as for this forfeiture or waiver, my understanding is that under the case law of this circuit, arguments that are not made in the opening brief are waived. So I'm not sure why we're entertaining that at this point.
Well, he certainly says in his opening brief that the Socialist Party is in control, and since it's in control, they have governmental power, and they'll be able to do what they want with him. And what they want to do, as Mr. Berman just pointed out, they want to eliminate the people who are witnesses to their criminal activities. What more is needed? Now, and that argument isn't even addressed by the immigration judge.
Well, in our view, Your Honor, there were two problems with the evidence that was put forward by petitioner. One had to do with his implication that the people that he was afraid of were more likely than not to torture him. I wanted to point out that
torture includes killing, I gather.
Well,
correct?
Not necessarily.
You think the torture convention doesn't bar clean kills?
I think that the torture convention, part of it says that it applies to any act by which severe pain or suffering is intentionally inflicted. Now, torture arguably is not synonymous with violence.
Is it the position of the United States of America, the executive branch, that the torture convention does not bar murders provided they are done cleanly?
I think that would be an issue that should go back.
I'm asking, what is the position of the executive branch of the United States of America? It negotiated these treaties, it signed these treaties, you implement these treaties. Is it the position that if we know with certainty that someone will be killed immediately on return to a foreign country, that nonetheless the torture convention does not bar that act?
Our position is that the evidence that was put forward...
No, I'm not asking about the evidence put forth. I'm asking about the position of the executive branch of the United States about the meaning of a treaty.
I have been instructed not to concede this point, Your Honor.
I thought the convention was actually explicit about that.
So we can bring them close to death, and it applies,
well,
but if you just...
The United States
I'm
has
talking
to have
about
a position
severe pain
about
or
issue.
Suffering that's intentionally inflicted. That is what torture, how torture is defined in the applicable regulations. And in this record, the record speaks of the petitioner fearing assassination, but there is nothing in the record at all that talks about a fear of torture.
Let me try once again. I want to know the position of the executive branch of the United States government on an issue of law. Is it your response that you're refusing to tell me what the position of the executive branch is?
I am making I'm making the argument that under the regulations that the definition would not necessarily apply to killing. The killing per se is not covered in this definition. The other argument, or the other problem with the evidence that was put forward by petitioner...
I guess it depends how you do the killing, if it's slow or not.
Well, there is, for example, an instance in the record here, Your Honor, where one of petitioner's colleagues, I believe, was killed by a sniper. That certainly doesn't seem to be a situation in which someone is trying to inflict suffering and pain. The other argument that I'm making is that petitioner's evidence has not shown that there's some evidence in the record supporting the view that that the people he was afraid of were not acting under color of law. The matter of YL case interprets the applicable regulations to say that current government officials must be acting in an official capacity in being responsible for any abuse.
Wasn't that the problem? Because the immigration judge assumed that the socialists were not in power, so they couldn't be acting in official capacity.
Well, I think beyond that point, there's other things that you can look to in this record raising that question. So I don't think that is necessarily the only obstacle here. In petitioner's own testimony, he distinguished this individual Ghazdemi, who was the person who seemed to be profiting from the smuggling, from the Socialist Party leaders. Let me just read a portion of the record, if I might. This is from page 379. It's an affidavit. After the elections, which were won by the Socialist Party, they did not give us the jobs that they promised. In 1998, we were still working for the Socialist Party leaders, but we were also affiliated with Ghazdemi, who was the financial advisor of Fatos Nano. So they seem to be making some distinctions between the leaders of the Socialist Party on the one hand and Ghazdemi on the other. And our position is that the petitioner hasn't thoroughly demonstrated that the other people in the Socialist Party, whether they were in power or not in power, were aware of all the struggling that was going on and were acquiescing.
I thought the immigration judge's ground was that because he was engaged in corrupt activity, as the judge puts it, the respondent fears prosecution, not persecution. Now that's completely different from the argument you're making, which is that he fears some private accounting by criminals who are just incidentally government officials also.
Well, I think there was more than, you know, sort of... In the judge's opinion,
is there more? Where?
Well, on page 58, there's this discussion of, let's see, after about engaging in criminal activity. He is being sought by members of the Socialist Party, not by the government of Albania. It is clear that respondents failed to establish, it is more likely than not, that the government of Albania would treat him in a cruel or an inhumane manner should he be returned to that country.
But how does that sort with the preceding sentence? He has engaged in criminal activity. If he's engaged in criminal activity, why is he being sought by members of the Socialist Party rather than by the government? Did the Socialist Party in its private capacity enforce the criminal laws?
Well, we interpreted this as the same way that petitioner's attorney does, that this is a question of falling out among thieves. The same situation would apply whether the Socialist Party was in power or whether the Democratic Party was in power, that other people, as they found out about this, you know, corruption were fearful that he would tell on them.
One might expect the Democratic Party to use the regular criminal apparatus of prosecution, mm-hmm. especially because Camilleri is associated with the Socialists. Very embarrassing for their opposition. On the other hand, one might expect mm-hmm. the Socialist Party to reduce embarrassment to resort to, let us say, extra-legal sanctions.
Well, there's certainly that distinction.
That of course, is the claim, but...
That's the distinction. I guess what I'm saying is, in terms of the Socialist Party having a motivation, which seems to be what is being addressed here,
this is all colored by the district, by the immigration judge's belief that the Democratic Party was in power. And in that event, what would happen is he'd be put through the regular criminal process. But with the Socialist Party in power, there may be extra legal sanctions.
Well, Your Honor, certainly in our brief, we argued that if you didn't think there was substantial evidence to support the decision below, that there were reasons to remand this case. So perhaps you have found an additional one.
What's so amusing about your point about the death, death is not torture. The language of the convention is pain and suffering. So most deaths involve pain and suffering.
Well, if you get shot in the head by a sniper, I'm not sure that, you know.
Is that what we'll be deciding, whether if someone is shot in the head, he actually feels
right.
a moment of pain before yeah. he's dead? Is that the issue?
It would violate the torture convention to send somebody back to a place that uses the electric chair, but if they're still on the guillotine, it's fine.
Well, execution, I doubt that you know, lawful
Private
execution is covered by the...
No, we don't know. We know the sniper hit him in the head rather than in some artery which bled to death
over
a period of time.
I guess I should say I'm glad if I've provided some amusement to Your Honor.
Well, it doesn't sound very amusing to me, I have to say. You casually say he was shot by a sniper, but a sniper can sever an artery which may cause somebody to bleed to death over a period of time. That certainly results in pain and suffering, doesn't it?
Well, I guess this also has to do with intentional that they're intentionally inflicting pain and suffering. I mean, if what they're doing is they're not trying to inflict pain and suffering, if their object
they're
is
they're just
to
trying to kill. Well, better not pursue this too much further. Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Drucker. So, Mr. Berman, do you have any time left? 1 minute? Do you have anything further? Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.